than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than horses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be
Well, TGIF, these weeks fly by so much. How you all doing? This is CA On Air Personality on the iHeartRadio Network. Welcome to Billy Graham Fridays. That's right, Billy Graham Fridays, making it sound like you're actually at the Crusade. And we got a great one coming up back in 1990 in England. We're going to be discussing that here in just a little while with Dr. Billy Graham. No deacon today, by the way. But I am going to tell you what's going to happen here in just a little bit. But let's get some James Brown. It's Friday. There we go. Here in just a little bit, I'm going to have the John Waller Coffee song. And then we've got another George Beverly Shea, and then we're going to go directly to Billy Graham, and it's going to be called the IMs. But let's just rehash and let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen on the show. So you guys know it's Billy Graham Friday. We're playing some Bev Shea music, a couple of those. No Deacon today. He's a little under the weather. Allergies. So what else do we have going on? Well, we've got... really quite a bit. The John Waller Coffee song. Billy Graham, we're going to go back again, like I said, to 1990 in England. You're going to love that one. It's called the IMs of God. Let's see. What else is going on? I think I'm going to not do a Friday. No, you know what? Someone asked me. CA, will you please do David Bowie again on a Friday? Happy Dance. Okay, well, we'll do that before we go back to Bev Shea. So I'll tell you what, let me remind you real quick, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, you can email me here at Faith Studio 1 in beautiful downtown Fort Worth, the iHeartRadio studio. Email address, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, like me on my Facebook page, The Morning Brew Christian Podcast. The more, the merrier. follow me and also be my friend, C.A. Hall. Be my friend. I'd love to have a lot of followers, guys. We do a lot of Facebook Lives, okay? Other than that, people ask me how my daughter's doing. I'm picking her up tomorrow. So things are looking sunny side up. Thank you all for your prayers. You can see my live cast on that too as well. And guess what? Easter's coming up in a couple of weeks. All right, let's get a little Friday dance, David Bowie. Get those dancing shoes on and let's dance. There we go. I gave you about 49 seconds of David Bowie. I do play different happy dance songs, but somehow or another, I get a lot of people say, hey, CA, will you play David Bowie? Of course we will. And I'm fishing up the coffee song. Just bear with me while I'm kind of going through all this. I hope everybody has had a good week. You know, time just flies by so fast, and we don't ever want to take life for granted. You know, especially with the goodness of what, you know, of what God has for us. And, you know, always when you're down and discouraged, know that Jesus loves you. He cares about you and he wants the best for you. And you know what? He's always there. He's always right by your side. So get ready, because you know what? Here in just a moment, we're going to need, let me get this going here. Having a little bit of audio trouble. Okay. All right, I'm ready to kick it off. We cannot do without our only coffee song going on. John Wilder, give me a good cup of coffee. Jesus in the morning.
That sweet aroma, I'm bold and beautiful. I can hardly wait to taste. Early morning, something wonderful is about to make my day.
And good Friday morning again, everybody. I tell you, I just love that song. I get so many requests for that. All right, well, this is CA On Air Personality, biblical teacher, encourager, friend, and independent clergy. It's not all in order. Oops, excuse me. We just hit our sound system there. All right, you know what? Let's hit off some Bev Shay and his, oh my goodness gracious, out of his collection, How Great Thou Art. And then from that point on, we are going to be doing the Billy Graham lesson after that. Again, the deacon is not here. You know what? Let me change that. Let's do this one. I've had someone... Okay, at Calvary. That's a popular one. Here we go. At Calvary, George Beverly Shea.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found everything. Now I gladly hold him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, the love that through salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to
there'll never be another one like George Beverly Shea. We got one more coming up after Billy Graham. You know, I just want y'all to feel like you're at the crusade. I don't have Cliff Barrels on this one. We'll bring him back. We'll try to partner him back up again. But I just wanted to praise some George Beverly Shea. I want you to feel like you're at the crusade. And I want you to listen to this one. This one's a very special one. I've never played this on the air before. It's the Billy Graham Fridays. We're going to go back to 1990 in England. In the IMs. Enjoy.
I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of Exodus, just for two verses of scripture. The third chapter and the 13th and 14th verses. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. What a strange answer. What a strange name. I am. That means he had no beginning, he had no end, he is the eternal, self-existent one. He is the one that created us, he is the one with whom we all have to do. And Jesus said in John 8:56, before Abraham was, I am. I would like to speak this afternoon on the I ams of Jesus in this passage of John. First, he said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. Now, he'd been feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we often wonder, with all the starvation in the world, why Jesus didn't feed all the hungry people. He had the power. Satan whispered to him and said, why don't you turn these stones into bread? You could do it. You have the power. You could feed the world. But Jesus was not going to do it at the suggestion of the devil. And he wasn't going to do it because he had something more important to do. He was on his way to the cross because he saw that man had even a deeper spiritual need than just bread at that particular moment. One of the great novelists of our time has said, I've never been hungry, but I'm so hungry. Quoted in one of our papers yesterday. And a psychiatrist in Honolulu said that more people die of loneliness, guilt, depression, tension, insecurity, and heart hunger than die of physical starvation. But bread in the scriptures is the symbol of spiritual life. Man has an inborn hunger for God. Every person here hungers for God, whether you know it or not. You're thirsty for God, you're hungry for God, and you're searching all your life. And then the second thing he said, I'm the light of the world in John 8:12. It was the end of the day. A woman that had been taken in adultery had been dragged before him by the Pharisees. And said, this woman was taken in adultery. The law says, stone her, what do you say? And Jesus gave a remarkable answer. It says he wrote on the ground, the only sermon Jesus ever wrote. We don't have a copy of it. We don't know what it was. I think it was the Ten Commandments. And these Pharisees looked over his shoulders. And then Jesus looked at them and said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And they walked away one by one. And not a one of us in this audience today can cast a stone. Because we're all guilty. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's glory and God's plan for us. We're sinners, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, he was probably referring to prophecies made about the Messiah that was yet to come. Because in Isaiah, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath light shined. Think of the confusion in the world at the moment. The chaos. And in the midst of all this confusion and in the midst of all this chaotic mess that the world is in, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As you stumble along in darkness, I will lead you. I will guide you out. Do there come times in your life when you don't know which way to go? You're not certain what decision to make? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have Jesus there whispering in your ear and telling you what you should do, whispering out of his word? Because there's hardly an experience that you have that doesn't have a parallel in the Bible that would guide you and lead you in the decision that you ought to make. Many of us today don't know what is right or what is wrong anymore. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, he's the God of this world, hath blinded, think of it now, blinded the minds of them that believe not. If you don't believe, your mind is blinded towards spiritual things. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, sin has affected your mind. There's a lot to say in the Bible about the mind. You must come to Christ with your mind. You must surrender your mind to him. And that's the reason the university professor that comes to Christ must come like a little child. Yes, he's the light of the world. And then a third time Jesus said, I am that I am. He said, I am the door. Now the kingdom of God has an entrance, one entrance. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. And he said, if you come up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Now, Jesus would have been familiar with doors because he is a carpenter that made many doors, I suppose. And while a house may have many doors, the kingdom of God only has one, and that's the cross of Christ. And it's a narrow door. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the only door into the kingdom of God. And sometimes, somewhere, if you get into the kingdom of God, you've got to come through that one door. It's a narrow gate, a narrow entrance. The road that you're going to travel is narrow. And there's another road that you're on now, a broad road. And that broad road, the Bible says, leads to destruction. Now, the broad road is going this way. Millions of people are on it. And it looks like they're having a wonderful time, all the sex and the drugs and all the other things and the drink. And coming up the middle of that broad road is the narrow road. The narrow road is not going off somewhere else. It's going up the middle of the broad road. That's the reason it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to follow Christ. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy to follow Christ. It's not. His demands are very high. That's the reason the rich young ruler had to turn away grieved. He couldn't meet the demands of Jesus. And many of you may feel that you just cannot meet the moral demands of Christ. It's too tough to be a Christian. Jesus said, I'm the door. Come through the door. He's standing at the entrance saying, come, come, come through this door. It's the only door to the kingdom of God. You say, isn't that narrow? It certainly is narrow. Because there's an exclusiveness to the gospel that we cannot give up. Jesus made it exclusive. He said, you either come this way or you don't come. And we don't like anybody to tell us that. That's the reason we rebel about it. But Jesus said, if you're to come to the kingdom of God, you've got to come through me. I am the door. And if you try to climb up through some other way, he said, you'll be a thief and a robber, and you won't make it. Come my way. Come my way. And then, fourthly, he said, I am the vine. John 15:1, he said, I am the vine. He was in the upper room. It was the Last Supper, just before he was to go to the cross. And what wonderful words he said. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. And without me, ye can do nothing. Are you yearning for identity? To know who you are, where you came from, why you're here, what's the purpose of your life? Are you looking for a meaningful relationship? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. We try, but without him, we cannot do it. You see, we are a branch on the vine. And if we abide, he said, we can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, you can pray and have your prayers answered if you abide in him. He said, my joy will be yours. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. If you're abiding in him, he said, I am the vine, you're the branches. But sometimes there's a dead branch. Sometimes the branch has to be cut off because it's dead. We don't have his joy. We don't have his words abiding in us. We don't get answers to prayer. He said, my love will be yours. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I've loved you. You would like to love that person. How many married people here today and your love has gone dead? You wouldn't admit it, of course, but it is. He can rekindle that love and give you a love that you never knew on your honeymoon. If you surrender to him, This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He can give you power to love your wife and your husband and your children and your parents. He can give you enough love to lay down your life for them. He can give you power to forgive. And if we don't forgive our brother, we cannot be forgiven ourselves. And how many of us here today need to start right there in forgiving? Somebody we need to forgive. Maybe right in your own family, to ease that tension and that problem. Yes, 7 times Jesus said, I am that I am. And one more I'm going to just take up. The 5th one, he said, I'm the good shepherd. John 10:11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now the sheep would have difficulty existing without a shepherd. They would fall prey to the wolves, and they would wander and become hopeless and lost without a shepherd. You see, when you come to Christ, you're wondering now, can I hold on? Can I stick it out? Or will I fall away? I don't have the strength to give up the things that are wrong in my life. I don't have the strength to change my way of living. And I know that's what Christ demands. You have a shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. He will guide you as you wander, because he says, I'm sending you forth as sheep among wolves. What could be worse or more dangerous than to have a sheep among wolves? And that's what a true believer is in the world in which we live. And the wolves will attack. Satan will have it all planned to trip you up. And man possesses many of the characteristics of the sheep. We tend to stray too. We tend to be short-sighted too. But the Bible says that our spiritual eyesight is faulty. It speaks of people who have eyes to see and do not see, and ears to hear, but they do not hear. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus likened us many times to sheep that need a shepherd. And Christ was the shepherd that laid down his life on the cross for us. And when he died on that cross, God took all of your sins and all of mine and laid upon Christ. The Middle Eastern shepherd lives with his sheep and gives them food and protection and security. Jesus said to those who follow him, lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the world. Do you know Christ? Would you like him to be your shepherd and guide you through all the problems of life? You young people, to help you pick out a mate that'll be permanent? To guide you in a decision you have to make about business or a job, or a decision that you have to make about something else? To guide you, to lead you, to give you strength to overcome the temptations that you're faced with right now? To give you the power to love somebody that you ought to be loving? To rekindle a love that's gone dead? To give you power to give up that habit that you know is wrong? You say, well, Billy, if I ever come into the kingdom of God like that, what will I have to do? 3 things. First, you must repent of sin. You say, well, what's repentance? I don't even understand it. The word repentance means to change. Change your mind about God, about Christ, about yourself, and about your own need. It also means to change your way of living so that you conform it to the will of God. But you say, I cannot. I know that I'm just too morally weak. I can't do it. Of course you can't do it. He helps you into repenting. He helps you to change. He's the shepherd there to guide you, to lead you, to give you the strength. Then the 2nd thing, by faith you must receive him. Notice I said by faith. Intellectually you cannot understand it all. You don't have to understand anything except that you have a need and that Christ can meet that need. You don't have to understand anything except that you have sinned and you need that sin forgiven. And that you want sin forgiven and you want to go to heaven. That's all you have to understand. And then the third thing you must do is follow him and serve him. And that is not easy. But that's where the shepherd is. You see, the Holy Spirit is sent by Christ to live inside of you from today on, to help you to live the life you ought to live. You don't leave the park alone.
There you go, and that's right. The I Am's of Jesus, Billy Graham, 1990. Let's close out with Victory in Jesus, Bev Shea.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
Heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
Amen. Victory in Jesus, George Bev Shea. That's right, here on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio on a Friday. Well, let's lead off in a prayer. If there's anything we can do, you know the rap, guys. You can email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com, or text a prayer. Go to the Morning Brew Christian Podcast on our Facebook page. And what you do is... Oops, I hit the mic again. I have a habit of doing that sometimes. Go to station information, copy, paste, text me a prayer. Me or my ministry team be more than glad to help you out any way we can. All right, let's lead off in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you watch over. guide and protect us, and let us have a great weekend. And we give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, this is CAA on the iHeartRadio Network, leaving Faith Studio 1 in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk again. Bye for now.